Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh, entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Starts now.
Hello and happy Tuesday. Oh my God. I was about to say Wednesday, but we're still the beginning of the week.
No, is it not Wednesday?
No, it's Tuesday.
No, it's Wednesday.
No, it feels like it's the middle of the week.
It's Wednesday.
What is going on?
It is a Wednesday show. Hello, everyone.
Do
we
not
are
confuse
basically
people.
Done with the week.
It's Friday.
No, but yeah, happy Tuesday, everybody. We are delivering you another Let's Go There show.
Where we catch you up on the news of the day and so much more. Of course, we've got the Democratic debates coming up in Iowa today, so
yes,
we'll bring you updates around that.
It's a big day today.
Yeah, it
is. If you pay attention to that type of stuff, which everyone should be paying attention to that type of stuff.
And guess what? Even if you don't worry because we've got you covered.
Oh, yes. I will be joining Jared Heal on his debate night late night.
Hello.
Special happening at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right after Loveline. We are doing an hour show catching you up on everything you probably missed during the debates. We're going to be talking with Karen Oakham from Los Angeles Blade, and then Matthew Coffey. Or Coffee, something like that. He's the Loghouse Cabin Republican. He's
okay.
That. And so, yeah, it's going to be a whole bunch of gays talking politics.
Love it. That's why I wasn't invited. I get it.
Yeah. And also, I can't believe they invited me.
Oh, stop it.
No.
I can't take this from you anymore,
no,
Ryan.
It's
I can't believe
it's true.
It.
It's
but then
true.
You talk about, all right, one, I can believe it. You have a show here, you have a voice, you're knowledgeable what's happening.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to be alongside people like a Jared Heal and these other people what they're doing. So I'm just going to be bringing in the humor moment. So exciting. I'm very excited.
Exactly.
For that.
You have a reason to be there.
Yeah, but not an important one.
Maybe you need a life coach.
Maybe. Well, I heard you didn't have good luck with your life coach.
My first moment of 2020.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a failure, but it was a moment. I got fired by my own life coach.
That's embarrassing.
And I don't know what that says about me.
I know what that says about you. It's everything that I've been saying about you.
What?
The fact that your life coach was so sick of you and everything.
Yeah, right.
They're like, I got to get away from her.
Only in LA does someone who doesn't have a degree and is not like, you know, I would say they're professionals, but this is something that, you know, they're getting into. It's a new profession, you could say. It's like a hot new area. And she was making me choose. It was like choosing, like, either hairstylist, you know what I mean? Like, when you have to choose, or boy, when you're dating. She was making me choose between my therapist and her.
I don't know what type of life coach that is, but I'm happy she dumped you.
We'll see. The saga might continue if she picks me up again. I asked her if we could do it.
No, you don't take back a life coach that dumped you. They literally are there to coach your life, and they said your life wasn't worth coaching anymore.
Yeah, I'm more worthy than that.
Maybe, but yes.
If you're a life coach out there, slide into my DMs at Shira Lazar.
Because Shira needs some help.
All right, let's get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expected to name the lawmakers who will prosecute the case against President Trump tomorrow. The Senate impeachment trial could begin as soon as this week, although the House needs to pass a resolution naming impeachment managers before the articles are formally sent to the Senate. So the impeachment continues. It's like the never-ending story.
Bum, bum, bum.
Now, let's move on to Vice President Joe Biden. Ah, this is a fun one. He is using President Donald Trump's own words in a new ad, arguing that he is the best candidate to beat Trump. And this was, of course, released ahead of the Democratic debate in Iowa tonight. Let's play the ad.
Donald Trump has made it clear.
Joe Biden.
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 And Biden.
He's got Joe Biden on his mind because Trump knows Biden will beat him in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, the states we need to take back the presidency. Joe Biden stood on the world stage, helped make Obamacare the law of the land, and can step in on day one. It's why Trump
Biden. Joe Biden.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
I mean, look at that one.
I was impressed much better than his What was that saying again he had?
Malarkey. Yes. It's a bunch of malarkey.
They raised the bar on this one. Someone did something right here.
I think maybe he switched the team member. I don't know. But whoever did this one, I thought that one was a really good one ahead of the... because I'm surprised he hadn't done it before, because I feel like it's been out there for him to really use all the times that Trump said Biden. And so I think this was one that they finally were like, oh, it clicks. We should use this one as our ad.
Maybe they hired someone from BuzzFeed.
Who knows?
And now this is the result. Anyway, well, moving on, Bernie Sanders doesn't think the country is ready for a female president.
Those are some, I mean, if you saw the story yesterday, I mean, it was everywhere because of Warren actually confirming it. And I think this, I don't know, Sheer, I think this might hurt him.
Well, we'll see, and we'll be getting into that, and the debate's happening tonight right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, Elizabeth Warren shared something very surprising yesterday, that a few weeks before the 2020 campaign started, Bernie Sanders told her that he did not believe a woman could win the presidency. This was news to everyone.
Actually, this story had came out. I believe CNN had did this story. Yeah. And Bernie said this was complete ludicrous. And she just basically confirmed it, right?
Yeah. He basically came out after the CNN report was released and said it's ludicrous to believe that at the same meeting where Elizabeth Warren told me she was going to run for president, I would tell her that a woman couldn't win. It's sad that 3 weeks before the Iowa caucus and a year after the private conversation, staff who weren't in the room were lying about what happened. He said, do I believe a woman can win in 2020? Of course. After all, Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump by 3 million votes in 2016. Then Warren then issued that statement Monday evening, kind of that contradicted all of this, and said that, no, he did talk about this privately. She said that they met in December 2018 to discuss the 2020 election, their past work together and our shared goals, beating Donald Trump, taking back the government from wealthy, well-connected people. Among the topics that came up was the female candidate issue. I thought a woman could win. He disagreed. I have no interest in discussing this further and beyond the private meeting. But a lot of people are now talking about it. And I guess a lot of people are wondering how this will impact now Bernie in the race. And also during the debate tonight, and Jarrett Hill is back with us as
Hello.
We get into that.
Yes.
To drop the subject with Jarrett and Allie.
And also from Debate Night and Late Night right here on Channel Q tonight at 9 p.m.
You know,
midnight Easter.
You know how I hate it. My arch nemesis.
That's why I do it every time I'm here. I make sure to plug
knows
whatever I'm
how
doing.
To irritate me.
So
also, check out my new book number.
You're like rivals. You're like the Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders of our station.
No,
can I be the Elizabeth Warren
friends.
If that's the case?
You're older. What? You're actually older,
okay,
so you
first
have
of all,
to.
How dare you?
What is the deal with this? This was very surprising. We know they're rivals, but it's getting dirty.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. Bernie Sanders is a 78-year-old man. The idea that he wouldn't believe that a woman could win the presidency is not hard to buy. Am I saying he said this? I don't know. And if it's going to be a question of who do I believe, I'm skewing Elizabeth Warren on this one. I don't, mind you, she didn't like bring this to the conversation, but she also came out and affirmed that it did happen that
Which
way.
I love that she did, because I think she always had this in her back pocket. I think this was one of those moments, because if you think about it, you know, I think a lot of times, Bernie kind of gets a lot of slack because of how he did treat Hillary in the 2016 elections. And I think also the Bernie bros, as his fan base, they are often very misogynistic on the internet, on social media. And every single time, you know, a woman is speaking up or something that is not on the side of Bernie, they're always attacking and saying awful things. And so I think it's something to be said about, even if Bernie didn't even mean it in this way, I do think it's something to be said that Bernie has a problem with women.
But I also think about Bernie bros and the way I think about, like, the beehive, if you will, right? Like, let me finish my thought.
I could see this.
The point is more so about the way that, like, an artist doesn't have control over their fans, right? Like, Rihanna doesn't have control over the way the Navy goes after people. Ariana Grande doesn't have
Arianators.
Thank you. Doesn't have control over those people.
The one
people.
Thing she knows.
Exactly right. But also, like, Bernie Sanders doesn't have control over the way that the Bernie bros are, even though the Bernie bros have, like, a really negative reputation on social media.
They do.
And in culture. So but I don't have a hard time believing that Bernie Sanders had this view. It's also you said that to her? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the way that she said he didn't disagree
but let's say it,
implies
like,
that there was some kind of conversation about
Let's do devil's advocate here. Let's say we were all in having a conversation like this, which we've actually had off-air and on-air, about if America is ready for
That's the thing.
President.
So us having
a female president.
Yeah, or even we've called a black, well, another black president or a black women president. Yeah. So we've had those conversations. So us then, if things hit the fan and
what if it was like that?
Revealed like, we just had an open, honest conversation about the fact that the community might not be ready. Doesn't mean someone shouldn't run, but we wonder what would happen. Does that mean we don't think it's possible?
Well, so I make a distinction because I always say like America was not ready for a black president when it got one. Right. And we saw that because of the way that the extreme backlash that came in the Tea Party and the racist comments and then Donald Trump.
Right.
Like Donald Trump is a massive overcorrection from Barack Obama's election. However, I think that us being ready for something and something happening are distinctly different. So I think that Elizabeth Warren can get elected. I don't know that America is ready.
That's what Bernie was saying.
I don't know.
I think
Elizabeth Warren can get elected because she's a fantastic candidate and worthy of it. But I think like there are plenty of Americans. And when I say I don't know if America is ready, I don't know that I know that there are plenty of Americans who are still jarred by the idea of a woman being president. And there are plenty of women who in 2016 were asked, like, what do you think about a woman being president? And they're like, oh, I'm not ready for that.
And the question would be whether the Hillary part was a big part of the answer around that. All right, let's move on. To the debates tonight and now how this will impact everything. Do you think this is now going to be brought up?
I one of the things we were talking about on our show today, drop the subject right here on Channel Q.
I'm going to turn your mic off.
one of the things I thought was interesting in CNN's preview of the debate tonight, what they were saying things to look out for, was seeing Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren on stage in this first time after this conversation has come up. There's a lot of different things that have changed since the last time we had a debate. This issue between Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, the Iran situation hadn't happened, right? We hadn't seen that. The impeachment is in a much more hot place where we're about to see all of these senators, three of the people on the stage tonight are senators. Those three people will be jurors in that trial. So there are a lot of different things that have happened just in the last month since the last time that we saw a debate.
It's going to be a pretty heavy debate, I think.
It very well could be.
I'm interested as well to see do you think there's any way, and this is just I'm kind of pulling this out of thin air, but do you think there's any way that this could backfire on Warren?
This story?
Yeah, the story. Because she did sit on it for a year.
Well,
2018 is when this conversation happened.
Well, so actually, I think this works in her favor.
Okay.
Because the fact that she didn't try to use this as a weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, mind you, this came out from unnamed sources, so it could very well be someone within the campaign, like, dropping this right before the debate.
Right.
That's wholly possible.
Of course. But all is fair in love and war, right?
Exactly. But also, the idea that, like, she didn't bring this up in an interview or, you know, bring it to the debate stage, it does make her look better.
Are very calculated because she could have had somebody leak it at first back and do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
this is the whole move.
Someone from her camp could have
completely
done this.
Honey, we play chess, not checkers.
Yeah. Exactly, right? You drop this story in a journalist's inbox and then it becomes a story. Like, that is totally how these kind of things can happen.
You know, I think Biden's enjoying it because he's like, great, I'm not being picked on anymore.
Don't talk about me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jarrett, for being here. Again, you have your late night
We have debate night and late night. Love you too, Shira. Debate night and late night is live tonight, right after Loveline. Ryan will be joining me. I also have Karen Oakham from the Los Angeles Blade and Matthew Crafty, who is the president of the Law. Matthew Crafty from the Law Cabin Republicans.
Thank God he's promoting
of California will also be here. There's also a promo running throughout the day, so you guys can check that out.
Okay.
But join us live.
And by the way, more than half of Sanders and Warren supporters told Quinnipiac pollsters that their second choice would be the other candidate, so it might work for the
both
Democrats. Who knows? Yeah. All right, we're moving into top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea, Ryan?
Honey, we got to talk about all things politics and political tea. Yeah, the latest celebrity that has endorsed Andrew Yang. You may be shocked if you are a fan. Drum roll, please. Here we go. Dave Chappelle.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. He threw his support behind Andrew Yang's bid for the Democratic presidential nomination, becoming the latest celebrity to back the former tech executive in this 2020 primary. So Here's what happened. In a statement released by the campaign, Chappelle declared that he was a part of the hashtag Yang Gang. He said to perform two shows in South Carolina on Yang's behalf later this month. And actually, here is Andrew actually talking about it before, I guess, like a little bit, like 2 hours before it happened. Here's what he had to say.
Also going to make a very special announcement. I'm going to be endorsed in about 2 hours by Dave Chappelle. And not just endorsed, Dave is going to be headlining a couple of shows to benefit the campaign in South Carolina on January 29th and January 30th. So super indebted to Dave. Can't wait to help make this case to the country that we can do better for ourselves and our kids than we're doing right now.
So, yeah, that's a pretty big move. I mean, I would have never thought that Dave Chappelle, I mean, he's a huge star. The star power of Dave Chappelle, I mean, I think he's a little problematic, but I do think he is a legendary comedian. And anyone that's kind of backed by him, I think has kind of changed the minds of a lot of people that are viewing him. Viewing Andrew Yang. Actually, I saw some tweets where people were like, wow, you know, Dave Chappelle just made me change my mind. And that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that is. Well, him and also Donald Glover, it seems like he's getting a lot of like the comedian, actor, rappers, you know what I mean?
I think it's these younger guys, these, you know, Dave Chappelle's not that young, but I think Donald Glover, he's a millennial guy, and I think Andrew Yang has the millennial kind of
of course,
to him, and that people are looking for.
But also, do you think it makes a difference that they happen to be high-profile black men?
I'm not sure, to be honest, but I think it's quite on brand. I still don't see it for Andrew Yang. I don't know. I just am not sure yet, but I think he is having a good time, and I think if he's making these great connections, who knows what this can do for his campaign. We'll see when the next polls come out and if it actually really does anything. Because I do think there's something to be said about celebrity endorsement, but oftentimes we don't even see the needle move. I mean, Beyonce endorsed Beto O'Rourke.
And that was the day of. It was too late.
At any day, it doesn't really matter. I think that's still something to be said. Now, moving on past that, though, on the other side of the aisle, Vince Vaughn. When's the last time you heard about actor Vince Vaughn? I haven't heard about him in forever. He's actually being criticized for a new video that just came out. He was seen chatting it up with President Donald Trump at a sporting event. So a brief video of him chatting with Donald Trump and Melania during the college football playoff national championship game in New Orleans. Basically, it's kind of stirred up, you know, Twitter, where people are saying that he's canceled, he's pissed. There's a moment where you see in the 31-second video, you see the actor shake the president's hand before getting up to leave, and Trump appears to gesture, you know, to Vaughn's lanyard or something. Here's the thing. It doesn't even look like they're having that, like, Vince loves this guy.
No, they were just acknowledging each other's presence.
But I will say, Shira, if you look into Vince Vaughn's past, he has said some like wild things on the he thinks that guns should be in school. Like he's very kind of.
When did he say this?
It's like a lot of stuff. If you look back in like 2015 and stuff like that, he has a lot of things where he was in the news for kind of some right leaning views. And so he was
also on Jackass when he started his career.
Yeah, but he's. That doesn't take away the amount of how the actor power like that he is. He
yeah, but that
is
a, but meaning like he was a dude, you know, he was a bro-y type of guy.
Yeah, but I still see my thing is when this came out, I did not think of it as a big deal. I think for me, I saw the Ellen thing as more of a big deal than I see this being.
Yeah,
a big deal.
I don't even care
about Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I think to cancel him because he happened to be at the same event as the president and they were within each other's space and he happened to shake his hand while he was saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see that as a big deal. And we were talking about this, like, if Melania... All right, so say Melania ended up here at the radio station.
Right.
And walked past Channel Q.
Okay.
Said hi. Maybe... Would you not... Would you just ignore her?
Yeah.
You wouldn't acknowledge her? You wouldn't... See, I would. And this is an interesting conversation to be had.
Or maybe I would just be like, hi, but I wouldn't go out all out giving compliments.
Not a
hug.
But just because you shake someone's hand or acknowledge them doesn't mean you're...
Well, they were in a full-blown... They were in a full-blown conversation. But, who knows what they were talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. They could have been talking about... He could have been like, dude, I really don't agree with how you handled Iran.
I don't... Well, Well, I don't know about that.
Because you don't know.
I don't think you can be that close to Donald Trump and disagree with him. His narcissism won't allow that.
I think I've had a dream, actually, where I disagreed with Donald Trump, and I talked to him about it. I was trying to talk to Donald Trump.
And I'm pretty sure it still sits with him to this day, Shira. He
sits with me. It was a nightmare.
Well, we're going to continue on this political tea that I am serving, honey, because Cardi B might be making a run for office, and gosh, I'm already getting a headache thinking about the girls in her campaign slogan. I don't know what I'm going to do, but we got more coming up in What's the Tea up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, we're back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And if you were just listening, we were talking all about the latest celebrity that endorsed Andrew Yang.
Uh-huh.
But also, I don't think we ever talked about the latest celebrity that endorsed Pete Buttigieg. I think all of the celebrities are now coming to the point where they're like, all right, it's time to kind of speak up on who we're talking about.
It's getting close to the caucuses. Yeah.
Well, Mandy Moore had this to say about Pete Buttigieg, because obviously we know, and if you don't know, she has endorsed Pete Buttigieg and has even taken a next step to say, I'm going to hit the road with him.
Yeah, I didn't know about this until you mentioned it.
So here's a little clip. I wanted to play that before we got into this next conversation.
He's a veteran. He's brilliant. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He speaks 7 languages. He's compassionate. He's authentic. He's a real human. I don't know. I feel like that's a quality that's often overlooked in a presidential candidate. I talked about this on stage, but he's someone who obviously has incredible policy ideas, but they're never ideas that feel unattainable. It feels like he's speaking directly to you, and you know he's going to get the job done.
I feel like she's his number one fan.
I was just imagining her as the character on This Is Us. And then I also...
That's Kate!
I feel like also, like, that's such an... All right, this is a generalization.
It's
such an actor thing to say. Like, it just feels like he means what he says by just when he talks to you.
Well,
like,
it is. Because,
you know what
it
I mean?
Is.
You're
it
like,
most definitely
yeah,
is.
That's like anyone can fake anything.
Right. I mean, that's how, when I tell you, that's kind of how I feel, unless I know a celebrity has really been in the trenches.
Yeah.
That's how I feel a lot of times when people, like, these celebrities are just kind of talking out of their butts. And
like, it just feels like
yeah.
you get the energy, like, you would just do it. No offense. I love you, Mandy Moore, but, you know, I'm just here to, you know, have fun.
But here's a fun moment. Let's have some more fun. Cardi B is saying that she made a run for Congress. What in the actual F? In a series of tweets, the rapper expressed her desire to become a politician. Here's what her tweet said, and I'm going to read them. I think I want to be a politician. I really love government, even though I don't agree with government. She says she was watching a lot of war documentaries. She was inspired to explore her political aspirations. She said, like, I was watching war documentaries. No matter how many weapons a country have, you need people. Like, how are you trying to go against a country and possibly start a war when this country lacks patriotism? I barely see people claiming they love being American. Mm. Even though, I will say this, Cardi B also, after saying these tweets, she had said that she was going to get her, her citizenship. She was looking into citizenship in Nigeria because Donald Trump was, like, doing a lot when it comes to all this stuff that's happening in the war conversations.
Got it.
I just don't understand this. I hope she does not do this. I don't think this is her lane. Not because of her funny quips and her accents and all these things. I just don't. I think celebrities, if you want to get your foot into politics, back someone who has worked, went to school and has worked hard
True.
To be in that position. I mean, has, like, blood, sweat, and tears.
Well, this
not
is what
you.
Happens when you get enough of attention and you're kind of riding on your ego and you think you could do anything. That's one thing.
I mean, it's
right?
a mess.
But I am not surprised because she has been very outspoken about politics
of
on
course.
Her Instagram.
Bernie
you know,
Sanders,
remember,
she
the Bernie
sat
Sanders
down.
Thing. And I think she connects two worlds. She is that bridging that gap between the communities that she's part of and where she's from, and a bit of like an like elitist political community, right? And I think it's really important, actually, to have someone like her in the field, in the space. And that's why it's actually not too surprising. Wouldn't it be great if she represented, was she from Bronx?
Yeah, she's from the Bronx.
But isn't AOC, she would have to kick AOC out or something.
Well, they can always come together.
I don't know. But that would be cool. Yeah. I actually could see it happening. If she's sick of doing her music, she wants to maybe focus on motherhood and politics.
I could see her, if AOC ever decided to want to run, I could see her endorsing AOC. But she did follow up all of these tweets up with another tweet tweeted saying, I do feel like I go back, if I go back to school and focus up, I can be a part of Congress. I dead ass have so much ideas that make sense. And I'm literally reading it how she said it. I just need a couple of years of school and I can shake the table.
I appreciate someone that believes in their possibility. No. However, don't undermine a lot of the hard work that others have gone through to get to where they are.
This is too important. Politics is too important. This is not a game to play with. People's lives are on the line. I don't like that.
But, you know,
I don't like that. We already have a celebrity in chief.
Well, that's
Let's be real here.
Donald Trump has paved the way now for many others who think they can make it.
It's ignorant. I don't know.
Well, listen, 2020, Kim Kardashian's a lawyer and Cardi B is running for Congress.
Kim Kardashian's not a lawyer
possible future.
I'm wrapping this up, this political tea that I have served. I'm done with it. Head over to WeAreChannelQ.com. Follow us at LGT Show and keep us favorited on that radio.com app.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, let's get into some what's trending in the news right now. Top of the hour. Of course, the Dem debates are going to be happening very soon. We'll be bringing you coverage of all of that right here on Let's Go There. But there's a lot happening in the news right now. Let's start with this crazy thing. A right-wing author, and he's sometimes a Fox News host, he has questioned whether Pete Buttigieg is actually gay, whether Elizabeth Warren is really a woman, and now is saying that Andrew Yang doesn't count as a person of color. This guy, Mark Stein, he's a regular, as I mentioned, he's a regular guest host on all those, like, those other platforms, but he was on the Rush Limbaugh show where he was filling in as well. And this is what he had to say, and these theories are just pretty wild.
Well, this theory that we're about to play is about Pete Buttigieg, which is quite hilarious, so yeah, here's that.
Big scam too, and it's just going to be a bunch of septuagenarian white guys up there along with Mayor Pete. Are we really sure he's gay? I mean, he looks like, you know, some guy from the accountancy department. He doesn't. That's a very non-gay look. I don't know. Anyway, the whole thing is the diversity of the Democrat primary has completely vanished now. Cory Booker is out. I love it. It's this just like big...
The diversity. There's more diversity. I mean, we've talked about a diversity issue, but come on. Like, there's less diversity than the Republican Party?
I will say, though, Shira, he made some points about Pete Buttigieg looking like an accountant.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's not gay.
Of course not. I think he needs to add Pete Buttigieg needs to add a couple more rainbows to his shirt, maybe like a rainbow sticker or something, so he can, or maybe he needs to switch a little. I don't know. I feel like this guy has an idea of what a gay man is supposed to be, which most people do. Most cis hetero kind of ignorant people feel like this is what gay is, and it's probably super flamboyant. It's all these things, and that's not what it is. It comes in different forms and different shapes and different looks. And I think to say something like that, it just proves why, you know, some people from the right shouldn't be talking. But because I do feel like some Republicans are just like, oh my God, can we just get back to what being a Republican really meant before Trumpism?
Well, he's a far right entertainer, let's be clear. He's a commentator.
Which is why he shouldn't be talking, because I don't think he really probably he might represent a lot of what right wing people are thinking, but maybe he doesn't.
Unfortunately.
He's extreme, it seems like. He's an extremist.
Exactly. Well, he said about Elizabeth Warren, the great repository of diversity now is Elizabeth Warren, the first woman of color we know. What is she? 1/1.05th of color. Actually, she's a woman? I mean, who's to say that's not all a big scam, too?
He's the worst. That guy is the worst. I mean, who actually even listens to podcasts like this for it to even make news?
Rush Limbaugh is one of the top ones for the right.
Of course you would know.
But, well, I know because I'm in the space. And, yes, you don't need to be on the right to know these things, Ryan. Let's move on to news coming from Grindr. Grindr is sending users...
It's Shira's favorite app, by the way.
How did you know?
I caught her on Grindr last night, and I was like, whoa.
It's how we communicate.
Could you please not tap me?
It's sending your information and location to dozens of ad companies, and that's according to a new Watchdog report. Grindr is, of course, the world's biggest gay dating app. By identifying its users to ad companies, it essentially is broadcasting their sexual orientation to third parties. OKQ Cupid and Tinder also share users' dating choices and location with ad companies. And this is from the report as well. The report's authors have called on regulators in the U.S. and Europe to investigate whether the apps are violating privacy laws. Well, the thing is, they're not if they're telling you, and we're just, you know, when you check, they brings up that that privacy thing at the top.
Which it does.
It'll give you a notification, but everyone just scrolls through and says, yeah, move on. I want to get some booty.
Actually, I will say, okay, now look, Shira, too far.
Or a relationship.
No, you were right about the booty thing. Everyone's going.
They're like, privacy laws. Come on. Don't distract me.
No, but what I was going to say is actually Grindr did, I do remember, maybe it was at the top of the year, but they did put a notification on where it actually notified you about the privacy changes that happened. So I feel like they do take that extra step. But, I mean, this is, at the end of the day, you have to be aware what apps you're using and what you're putting out in the information-wise and what they're doing with your information. And
yeah.
So, don't use the app if you don't want your information out there. But if you do, to get you some, then do it. There's no shame in your game.
Yeah, including, do you use that app for free?
Yeah, or you can pay for it. It has a subscription part
so
to it.
So, what they should do is, if you pay for it, you get no ads. If you don't pay for it, you get ads.
First of all, Shira, you should know these questions.
Why
like I said,
I should be the CEO.
You're on Grindr.
Yes. Moving on. This is an interesting one. Apple has denied a request from U.S. Attorney General William Barr, last night to unlock two iPhones belonging to the Saudi Air Force cadet who killed three sailors and wounded eight others in a shooting at a naval air base in Pensacola, Florida last month. This is fascinating to me and brings up a bigger discussion. If you're dealing with a criminal, then it should be okay to unlock his phone. I don't really care enough about privacy issues to protect a criminal.
Well, are they afraid that if that criminal ever gets out, that criminal can sue Apple?
I would assume they have no right to sue if they did something illegal. All their possessions should be able to be looked at for the case.
Well, just because you've spent time in jail or something doesn't that mean you... I mean, once you're out, you've done your time, you still have some type of rights, so you could if you wanted.
If there is something that could help with a case, you should be able to look at it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. I agree.
So I don't know how privacy rules would protect people in this case, but hey, they do. Speaking of privacy, why activists want to ban facial recognition on college campuses. That's up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Facial recognition, which scans and identifies people's faces as they appear in a camera's view. It's not the first time. I mean, I know you've heard of this. Right?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, we've talked about it a lot.
Well, I mean, all iPhones have facial recognition now. I mean, if you have the new updated iPhones, all you got to do is hold it up to your face or your twin's face and it unlocks your phone.
Yeah, which can be hard when you want to get it into your partner's phone, unless they're sleeping, maybe.
But that's not what we're talking about.
I know. It's now being used more and more often, though. Yeah, beyond the phones. It's being used by law enforcement, airports, on social media platforms, and even by landlords, which
yeah,
I find is wild.
That's very scary.
Now, the technology is also very controversial, and it's being marketed now to colleges and universities as a way to increase security on campus, dorms, track classroom attendance, and call out expelled students trying to get back on campus. But a new campaign from the nonprofit advocacy group Fight for the Future wants to fight the rollout, and they're teaching students how to fight it as well. And now Evan Greer is joining us right now, Deputy Director of Fight for the Future, a digital rights group leading the campaign. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I mean, I find this so fascinating. Congrats on all the attention that you guys are getting. Why do you think facial recognition in colleges is not good? Because I could see both sides. I could see how it can maybe...
It can help.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think, you know, we often think about this stuff as if it's some debate between an ethereal idea of privacy and security. And I think we have to kind of throw that out the window, because the reality is that, look, tech companies want to sell this technology to universities. But there's actually no evidence to suggest that this type of invasive surveillance technology actually makes anyone safer. This technology has never been shown to have prevented a violent attack or a school shooting or the types of things that administrations say they're trying to prevent. And so I think we have to recognize that in the end, this technology actually makes a lot of people less safe, not more safe. when in the process it actually violates our basic rights.
Yeah, and that's what was a big red flag for me when I saw this, because me as a person of color, and especially a queer person of color, I automatically thought, oh, wow, this could really be used to target other people of color in ways that could be very harmful for them. And I feel like that's a very big issue, whether they're on campus or anywhere, that shouldn't be added to a person of color's load.
That's exactly right. And current facial recognition algorithms actually exhibit systemic racial bias, which means that they're more likely to misidentify you than to misidentify me as a white person. And that can have really serious consequences for students of color on campus. You know, that could definitely lead to students of color facing more harassment from police than they already do, or even more innocuous kind of minor inconveniences, like you're trying to get into your dorm and the facial recognition algorithm doesn't recognize you and doesn't let you into your own dorm. Those are the types of things that students of color or faculty of color could face if this type of racially biased technology is rolled out on college campuses.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. But do you think if there was an option for both things, where you have the manual way to get in, say in that example you use, but a facial recognition as another option, that's a nice balance to have?
Totally. So this is exactly what we're going to start hearing from companies and institutions that are using this technology. They'll say, look, it's just a choice. We're letting people opt in. But the reality is that people often don't know what they're opting into, the same as when you use Facebook or other social media platforms. When you use a facial recognition system to get into a dorm or to get your meal plan or something like that, that means that your college, a private company often, is collecting sensitive biometric information on you and storing it in a database.
Yeah.
And we all know how good companies are at protecting information that they have stored in databases, which is not very good at all.
Yeah.
So that information then is vulnerable to hackers, to governments, to law enforcement, to other governments, to your creepy ex-boyfriend, to whoever wants to go get it. And, you know, that doesn't make people safer. That actually makes people less safe. And it also has a profoundly chilling effect on our ability to be ourselves. It means that your administration can track you, see what you're doing outside of class, how you party, watch you on your walk of shame or your walk of hell yeah, whatever you want to call it. You know, I mean, those are things that no college administration has any business monitoring. And, you know, it really has a chilling effect on our academic freedom as well.
Yes. So I know that Fight for the Future, you all are planning to contact about 40 institutions and will be preparing a public scorecard based on their responses. Could you talk a little bit more about that? Because that's how we even found out about you from this Vox article that I'm quoting this from.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we're modeling this campaign after a similar campaign that we ran targeting music festivals in the United States. And that campaign actually got 40 of the world's largest music festivals, including Coachella and South by Southwest and Bonnaroo, to commit to not using this type of invasive surveillance technology on music fans. And so we're basically now doing the same thing with colleges and universities. The first step is just to reach out to them and say, hey, are you using this technology right now? If not, can you just make a statement making it clear so that your students don't have to worry that you might be using this technology? And even just in the last few hours, we've started to get some responses in. Columbia University responded to us and confirmed that they're not currently using facial recognition technology and have no plans to do so. And then the University of San Francisco, which was previously using facial recognition technology back in 2016, emailed us to confirm that they're not using it anymore. So we're already seeing some progress in this campaign, and we really encourage students or faculty or anyone that wants to help out to get in touch with us, because we're getting efforts going on a number of campuses across the country to not only get statements from schools, but also pass student government resolutions to ensure that this technology doesn't get deployed on students in the future.
All right. Well, Evan Greer, thanks again for the work you're doing, and best of luck with this campaign.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on the show.
What's the website? Fightforthefuture.org or .com?
Fightforthefuture.org, okay. And you can go to banfacialrecognition.com to learn more about our Ban Facial Recognition campaign.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Now, Evan Greer is the deputy director of Fight for the Future, a digital rights group leading the campaign against facial recognition on campuses and beyond.
Yeah.
Now, coming up, complaining might be something you're trying to do less in the new year, but our next guest believes complaining can actually be good for you. Find out why after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, all of us complain whether we like it or not.
I mean, I will say that I have my moments. Well, actually, no, screw that. I don't really like complaining. I'd rather, I'm a type of person where I keep stuff in because people often complain to me or vent to me. Mm. I'm a person that people like to come to the vent because I often open that space. And so oftentimes it can also be annoying hearing people complain.
All right. So you're on that side. Well, yeah. I try to process my feelings and find safe spaces to vent.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I've always thought it's something to be aware of because it could really impact your energy and others around you,
yeah,
right?
Relationships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But our next guest thinks otherwise. Please welcome Dr. Robin Kowalski on the show, professor of psychology at Clemson University. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, let's talk about complaining.
Come on, Dr. Robin.
Yeah, why has complaining gotten such a bad rap?
Well, it's a great question because given that it's a behavior that we all do, you know, why would it get a bad rap? But I think, you know, we all just touched on it. I think part of it is, you know, it has that, it doesn't always have a whine attached to it, but people in their minds associate it with a, you know, oh, it's so cold. It's so this, you know, has that whine attached to it in people's minds. And it is annoying when people go on and on and on and on.
Well, yeah, I think is there a right way to complain? Is a weird question.
No, it's a great question. And I think the answer to that is yes. And, you know, I think the key part of complaining strategically is being aware of how often we complain. You know, when I first started doing research in this area, I became aware of how often I complained. And then I started hearing it everywhere. It was like it was coming out of the woodwork. You know, so I think awareness can just go a long way with any behavior, but certainly with complaining. And if we're aware of complaining or whatever the behavior is, then we can start to moderate that behavior if we're engaging in it excessively.
Yeah, that's saying that someone needs to be aware, which a lot of people are unaware of their actions.
No, like, self-awareness.
Yeah, a lot of people have a lack of self-awareness. How do you build that in yourself so you can catch yourself doing it and you can be aware when others are doing it and how it impacts you?
You know, there's several different ways. Will Bowen, who runs the Complaint Free World, he has a great idea, which is using like bracelets, you know, like the Live Strong bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. And so, like, his suggestion is to, you know, wear the bracelet. And if you complain, then you switch the bracelet to the other arm and you start over. And I know people who've used that, counselors who've used that in relationship counseling. So, you know, whatever it doesn't have to be a bracelet, whatever the strategy is, it could be journaling about it. It could be keeping tallies of, you know, how often you complain or what those specific complaints are. You know,
yeah.
If you don't want it to become a burdensome task, because then you're going to go complain about that. It becomes being cognizant of the fact that you are complaining about whatever it is and then thinking about what that is. Are you really dissatisfied with it or are you complaining to achieve some other goal?
Yeah, and I'm thinking even further into this where you touched on kind of relationships, like personal relationships, but I'm even thinking about work relationships where if you are possibly working with someone like a coworker or even a boss where they are constantly complaining, it's like how do you set those boundaries and maybe, you know, even navigating that space because that can be very toxic and kind of weigh on you in some ways.
Oh, yeah, it can totally affect your, you know, job performance, your job satisfaction. So, you know, work relationships are no different in that sense than any other type of relationship. So one way to do it is to confront the person about it, you know, make them aware of it. You know, are you aware of how often you're complaining or this is making me feel a certain way? Or so you could confront them about it, you know, nicely, again, so you don't give them something else to complain about it. There's also the avoidance strategy, but I really don't think that's the best strategy because the person is going to continue to do it to you or someone else. So I think kindly, you know, talking to someone to make them more aware of their own behavior.
Yeah. All right. So we've talked a lot about people that complain and how it just sucks in general. But in this New York Times article, you do talk about how it could be good for you. So we do want to get into that next for the people that do complain.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we are back. We're talking about the subject of complaining. And before the break, we got into, you know, why complaining is a bad thing, how it can impact your relationships. But again, our next guest we found on this New York Times article, and the headline actually caught our attention. The headline is, "Go ahead and complain. It might be good for you." Let's get into that with Dr. Robin Kowalski, who's a professor of psychology at Clemson University.
So, Doctor, wait, before we get into why it's good for you, I really have issues with a person that complains, because it feels like there's no, with complaining, it seems like there's no sense of kind of gratitude for what you have. And oftentimes, complaining feels like it just creates this negative energy for someone to just be kind of depressing for themselves or wanting to kind of like a misery loves company. So it's like, how do you, I really despise a complainer, to be quite honest. And I don't know if I should have that judgment, or but I do also feel like a lot of people have that judgment.
I think they do. And the reason for that is there's a contagion effect of complaining. So, or a domino effect of complaining. So, you know, if I complain to you, then that's going to, you know, make you think of things that you're dissatisfied with. And then you're going to need to go complain to somebody else or complain back to me, which is what's going to create this, you know, spiral of complaining. So I think that's why, you know, people don't want to, you know, be reminded of things that they're dissatisfied with if they're not currently thinking about it. And so I think that's one reason that we find, you know, particularly chronic complainers annoying. But I think if people do it strategically, we're less likely to be put off by it.
I love that strategically complaining.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah, that's something interesting. I feel like people are going to use that as an excuse. But why then the angle that it's good to complain? Explain.
Well, yeah, I think complaining can serve a lot of useful functions. For example, like it's an icebreaker. So, you know, think about all the times that we're in a doctor's office, for example, and invariably you have to wait. So, you know, you're with total strangers, so you may sit there and say, oh, you know, I hate waiting all the time, and oh, you know, this and that about the doctor's office. So it allows you to, it's an icebreaker, it allows you to initiate a conversation with these people that you have, you know, that you don't even know. They're just total strangers to you. It also, you know, can serve what in psychology we call a self-presentational function. It allows us to manage our impressions. So, you know, if I go with you guys to a restaurant and I start complaining about the food or wine, I may think the food and wine are perfectly fine, but maybe I think that if I complain about it, you're going to think, oh, well, she's so discriminating in her taste. And, you know, but now you have to be careful, because that's a very fine line to walk. You know, you may be put off, like you were talking about.
That's so funny because I do feel like I have done that before, just to kind of, like you said, use it as an icebreaker, where it's like, oh, this is something that I've visually seen their body language in some way, and I've seen that they're kind of uncomfortable, but they're not saying anything. But to kind of break the ice, I have said, I've complained a little bit, and then it's like, we're now starting this conversation, so it brings people together. That's so interesting.
But I feel like that is really twisted.
I love to use negativity
as a way to bring the best out of someone.
It's the positivity. Go for it. Like, you have to take the positive out of the negative, right?
That's right. And, you know, if it can, you know, it may start as a negative, but it, like you said, it brings out, it ends up with a positive thing. It's establishing this however momentary relationship with somebody else. So it can have a positive outcome.
Is that different, though, versus complaining in person versus complaining on social media? Because I feel like, because social media doesn't really have a tone, you don't really know the tone of someone's complaining versus you can hear it if it's sarcasm or something in person. You're like, oh, I get where they're coming from. But on social media, you're just like, oh, my God, let me block this person because they're complaining again.
I think that's absolutely right. And you also, you know, you've got, like you said, the tone of voice, but you've also got all the other nonverbal cues, the, you know, maybe it's the winks or, you know, the body posture. You've got so many other cues for how somebody should take the complaint. But on social media, you've got nothing except just what's written there.
Okay, so how do you create boundaries with someone, I guess, who, rules for yourself as we wrap this up? Because I feel like I don't want to leave this with this maybe lesson, like, okay, everyone complain, because it's 2020.
Right.
2019 was a lot for a lot of people.
Well, people have a reason to complain. So
but I want to look towards some positivity here. So how do you create some boundaries around it so we're all not just complaining at each other and to each other?
So that's the strategic part of it. I think you really, to be an effective complainer and to get the benefit of it, you can't do it all the time. I mean, the benefit really is going to only come to people who are, you know, disclosing, you know, their dissatisfaction that they are not disclosing to every single person on the planet. So I think to be a good strategic, effective complainer, you've got to do it in moderation, and you've got to pick your audience carefully. So, you know, if I go and express my dissatisfaction to everybody, that's a waste of everybody's time, and that's ruining relationships. But if I, you know, maybe I'll complain to, you know, one person about, you know, a particular topic, and because I think that maybe they can help me with it, or that they'll be a better listener.
Yeah.
But maybe with another topic, I'm going to go to somebody else.
Well, yeah.
And I can't do it all the time. I've got to do it in moderation. You know, it's kind of like picking your battles.
Yeah. Everything in moderation.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Robin Kowalski, thank you so much for joining us today for this discussion.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Dr. Robin is a professor of psychology at Clemson University. No complaining here about that interview.
I hate
so
you.
Cheesy.
I'm going to complain how
Sorry.
Much I hate it.
Yeah, I apologize for that. All right, we've got some What's Trending in the News top of the hour coming up. Latest that is coming out from the Democratic debates, and also we've got breaking news coming out of Houston. That's next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
The Democratic debates have started right now on CNN, and out of the gate, let's get into what's trending in the news right now by
yeah.
the top of the hour. So there's a lot to talk about.
I will say this about the debates. I'm trying to watch while we're in commercial breaks. We're already 8 minutes in, and you know, Joe Biden's already reminded us that he was Obama's VP. So
yeah.
it's pretty good. And then, of course, you know, Bernie Sanders has also already reminded us to look at his track record. So there's that.
Yeah, we got a bunch of drops already. So first question was to Sanders on foreign policy, the Iraq war. Not really surprising there, considering what's been going on recently.
Yeah.
He reminded everyone of his vote on the Iraq war. He has been anti-war, as you mentioned, given his giving his background to everyone. He's been anti-war, anti-intervention for most of the recent wars. He believes in conflict resolution through diplomacy, not the battlefield. And Biden was questioned then on the Iraq war vote, saying it was a mistake. So he's acknowledging
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because people actually are quoting him in tweets where during the Bush camp, the Bush administration, he spent all this time kind of backing Bush's decision and even kind of actually, you know, praised the decision. And now he's realizing his mistakes. And I think it's interesting to be said that people are going to kind of hold him accountable for that. And I think the question that's being asked now is, why are you best prepared to be commander in chief? And as soon as we start seeing clips online, we'll start like pulling them. And also, obviously, debate in late night is coming up very, very soon.
Exactly.
9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right after Loveline. It would be me, Jared Hill, and some other homosexuals talking all things politics and what's happening in the debates.
Should be entertaining and informative.
Of course.
Now, the one surprise, we're still surprised about the fact that Amy Klobuchar is in the race.
Oh, I can't
even
believe it.
Not Andrew Yang. I would say Amy. I almost forgot that she was part of it.
Yeah. Oh, can I please read what Tulsi Gabbard tweeted out just
yes.
a second ago? She said, unfortunately, the candidate who is best positioned to defeat Donald Trump will not even be on the Dem debate stage tonight, thanks to the DNC and biased corporate media, Tulsi 2020. And I wanted to really quote tweet him being like, I know I'm super sad Beyonce's not on the stage. She is the best candidate.
Oh, my God. A competition. Okay.
Tulsi's the worst.
I'm she's
really
fascinating.
Not a fan
she's a troll. She likes trolling.
I don't like her at all. She's the worst.
Let's move on to some very tragic breaking news coming out of Houston. A Houston area student was rushed to the hospital from Bel Air High School after being shot in the chest. The suspect is still at large, and city officials are asking everyone to stay in their homes. According to a local station, the student later died. So again, we are sending all our, you know, good vibes, positivity. Just stay safe out there to everyone listening in the Houston area.
I hope that is something that will be brought up tonight. I think that I really want to see trans issues being brought up, more LGBT issues being brought up, gun control being brought up. I think there's a lot of things that I feel like a lot of the debates, and especially I believe this is the last debate that's happening. We'll see if we're going to fact check that a little bit later on, but I do believe that. And so this debate really means a lot to a lot of marginalized communities, and especially people that are, you know, behind the effects of gun violence.
Yeah, obviously the war, Iran,
yeah.
who could lead that in the best way possible?
Yeah.
Healthcare.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just,
yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, I just signed up for my healthcare. It's great.
Congrats.
Thank you. I felt so wonderful.
Now,
shout out to Intercom.
Exactly. Thank you. Now, next story in what's trending in the news, top of the hour. The governor of Tennessee says he'll sign a bill giving faith-based adoption and foster care agencies a legal way to turn away same-sex couples and other prospective parents who go against the agency's religious beliefs. The state Senate passed that bill today in its first vote of the 2020 legislative session, following the House's approval last April. It would prevent the state from refusing licenses or grants to agencies that discriminate in the name of religion, and the agencies would also be protected from lawsuits. Governor Bill Lee, a Republican, plans to sign it as soon as it reaches his desk. So that is some news coming out of Tennessee. Now we're moving on to sex education. Arizona students won't be allowed to take sexual education classes until the seventh grade if this new bill is passed.
Which is honestly ridiculous, because I think I started taking sex education classes probably when I was in the fifth or sixth grade. And I remember it being such a huge thing because of Speedy the Sperm. Speedy the Sperm was the inside.
How do you even take that seriously?
Oh, no, it was so serious because they showed very graphic pictures of like HPV and all these things. Oh. But Speedy the Sperm was the one narrating, and it was the inside of a pillowcase, like a pillow, and it had like little googly eyes and was shaped like sperm. But either way, I feel like it was very, it's very needed. The only thing that I wish was added to sex education classes was talking about homosexual stuff.
Well, Arizona wants to take sex ed out and anything to do with LGBTQ. They basically want people to be abstinent. We're getting into that after this, but also we are asking you on social media, should sex ed be banned?
And when is it appropriate to actually teach your child about sex ed, like to have that conversation? We don't have kids, but I've never had the sex conversation with my mom.
Well, yeah, that's another issue. Coming up next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, before the break, we were talking about this new Arizona Senate bill that is being passed, or that this Senator Sylvia Allen, a Republican, no surprise there, is trying to pass, that will take away sex education, but specifically limit it to talk about, you know, not about LGBTQ issues, to not talk about any sex, but basically to also promote abstinence.
You know, and that's what's annoying to me, because I feel like that is so irresponsible of adults to be kind of, I just don't see it as realistic anymore. And I find it very irresponsible to try to push this narrative of abstinence on children. Obviously, at a certain age, you want to teach them more so to be responsible about their body use. But I think abstinence is always covered in this blanket of, oh, you shouldn't be sexual human beings. You shouldn't be accepting of who you are in some ways. And I find that to be very gross. And someone that has grown up in the South and in church, I always felt like, oh my God, I don't know how to really talk about sex or even feel when having sex and even how to have these conversations, even as a queer person. So I just find it very irresponsible for, you know, people like her to be pushing that narrative.
Yeah, they're saying that abstinence is the expected standard conduct.
Trash.
The instruction could not normalize sexual conduct between students. Fascinating stuff, and it brings up the question, should sex ed be banned? These conversations are starting to be brought up, you know, in the Senate, then it's obviously on people's minds.
Yeah.
And so we are bringing in our favorite sex educator and social media star, Shan Boodrum, to talk to us about this topic. And I know you have some strong opinions about this, Shan.
Yes, I do have strong opinions, but I think that when we match disgust with disgust, we really get nowhere. Mm. So if we're like, how crazy and how stupid are you not in the modern world, then we actually really don't get to communicate effectively with people who actually need to understand that. What are the alternatives, right? The alternative to not giving kids information so that they can be discerning through all the different medias they're going to get, because we live in the age of information.
Right.
We don't give them discernment. That means that the one kid in the class who maybe has watched porn, or the one kid in the class who heard some message that's not accurate, becomes the educator. So I think we have to really do a great job of saying, all right, at the end of the day, you can say the school system, you don't want it, them teaching your children, but then the question really arises, well, who do you want teaching your children? Because the information is out there.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it's best to be in a forum that is controlled, that you have some understanding of what's being discussed in school, so you can supplement it at home with additional conversation. That way you have some chance of controlling the narrative. But if you can, exactly, to all your points, it is crazy to still think that saying nothing is the best alternative.
I do think it's quite interesting, kind of the take that sex gets it's like often politicized. And I find that to be something that can be very harming for a lot of people, and kind of how you agree with what you just said. I think it doesn't do anything for the conversation. I think trying to politicize sex education in schools, it's like, well, what do you want children to learn when it does come to that time that they have to discuss these things? Because it is a part of adulthood. It's a part of life in general.
Yeah, it's a part of everything. I mean, you're born sexual and we'll die sexual, you know, from the moment that the sperm reached the egg. Like, our whole life has been a sexual journey, and there should be age-appropriate conversations. I always say that when we talk about the sex talk, we're already on the wrong path, because it has to be the sex conversation, and a continuous conversation that does start to get more nuanced as time goes on. And that's how you ensure that you can be a go-to, that you can, again, control the decisions that they make. So I feel like there just needs to be a conversation. And of course, there's so many stats out there that just show that abstinence-only education simply is not effective. It does not result in less teen pregnancies or in less STIs. It does not result in happier sex lives. Yeah. So I think there is a middle ground to be had here, but ultimately I would love for some of these parents who are really concerned to come to California, because California just passed a really progressive and age-appropriate sex education curriculum that actually begins at kindergarten.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're doing something right here. Maybe those states just have to make a nice little trip to California. Maybe the winter when it's warm, we could woo them. Come into a class, see how the kids are responding. There was a class that had this exercise called the gender wall, where they just had a blank wall and they said, write as many terms as possible that you heard when it comes to gender identification, sexuality. Oh. And they were really surprised at how these young kids knew a lot of words that a lot of adults didn't even know. So
wow.
I think that they could benefit from a trip here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot coming out of California, that's for sure.
Right, yeah.
Shan Boodrum.
This show, for example.
Yeah, exactly. This show. We are across the nation. HQ is right here in LA. Shan Boodrum, you rock. Where can people find you on social media?
All places, Shan Booty.
Okay, Shan Booty, certified sex educator, dating coach, relationship expert, and author of The Game of Desire. Pick it up. It's an amazing book.
Oh, it's incredible.
And we'll be back because we did ask you guys on social media, should sex ed be banned? And let me tell you, we got some interesting responses.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay,
Let's talk about sex, you guys.
Yes. Oh, do we have that song?
No, I wish we had that song.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
We asked you guys on social media, should sex ed be canceled
or banned?
Should
you almost found it.
Ed be banned in schools? We're about to go to the results and also some interesting comments you guys made. Again, you can follow us on social media at LGT Show, where we post every single day. But by the way, if you want to sound off on this while we discuss and debate, you can give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. So, Ryan, what is your take?
I mean, honestly, Shira, I feel like sex ed as a kid is so already uncomfortable that I would hope that, you know, whatever school our school administration is facilitating this, they would understand what it was like as a young person to even have the birds and the bees conversation, and how uncomfortable and awkward that is, and actually be willing to shift that narrative and being like, you know, kids shouldn't feel uncomfortable in themselves, because, like, you know, Shan, our certified sex educator that was just on with us, said, you know, we are sexual from the moment we're born. We, you know, that is just about, that's just who we are. And I feel like it would be completely irresponsible for that, you know, school, or for this to even pass in that way, because I really feel like when I hit middle school, Shira, I think that was one when I really started to realize that I was different from the rest of the boys, because all the guys were already talking about sex. And I actually remember by seventh grade, most of the guys and girls were actually experiencing sexual feelings, but also they were engaging in sexual acts in seventh grade.
It's going to come up whether you talk about it in school or not. It's the nature of the beast and the nature of being human. And with the accessibility of porn these days, I mean, people are going to be looking it up no matter what. If anything, I think when you try to protect, quote unquote, someone or keep something away from someone, they're going to be more intrigued to find out about it for themselves.
That's how I, honestly, if I'm being quiet, quite real and vulnerable here. That is exactly how I found out about sex, because clearly I never had the actual birds and the bees conversation with my mom. But because also I think being raised in a very religious household, you're not even supposed to be having those talks because, you know, you don't have sex until you're married.
It was also awkward probably for your mom because she was a single mom and your dad wasn't around.
And
it probably would have been awkward for your dad because if he was a straight man, he was like, maybe he wouldn't have known how to have that combo.
And I actually agree with that because I don't think there was a lot of times, and now that I'm remembering, my mom would say, there are just some things that I can't teach you because I'm a woman. And, you know, a man is supposed to teach you how to be a man in that way. And I don't really agree with that narrative now that I'm kind of fully formed. But I do think it is uncomfortable for parents. But I had to use porn to even figure out how to navigate, you know, homosexual sex because I had no clue what I was doing. And I often wish I would have because I felt pressured to start at a young age. And I did. And I wish I could take it back sometimes.
Well, yeah, my take on it is that they should have these kind of outside programs. Like, I think there's a huge gap, actually, in this space. And there's an opportunity for someone to do it properly where they can implement either weekly classes or as a tour where cool people that know about this stuff that students can connect with at a young age.
I mean, Shan Boudram would be a perfect person that I would... They look up to her on YouTube. They already they're already watching her
content.
But she's
a professional.
Yeah, but a professional needs to be in the classrooms.
Yeah, but someone that... that is cool. Sorry to say, you need to be someone that they respect.
And
they
also attractive, that they're going to kind of be attractive
to. Well, they feel...
It's true. These
I think
boys
there just needs to be a comfortability there for them to feel it's accessible. You're not just like this adult telling them what to do.
Yeah.
And then also there should be more private one-on-ones where if there is someone that's like, hey, I don't want to talk about this in front of a whole class, you can set up an appointment.
Right.
All right,
right.
So what do people have to say on social media? Should sex ed be banned?
Okay, so one comment said this. No, absolutely not. Young people are the leaders of tomorrow. We need them to be prepared for the world in which they'll grow up. They need to know how to stay safe and make the right choices in life, and that includes sex and relationships.
I mean, if they're teaching us anything about climate change, maybe they'll teach us something about sex too.
I mean, period. Also, another person said, it depends on how it is presented, which is interesting. I agree with that because you don't want anything to be happening in poor taste.
Yeah, or just that it makes
it's just wrong.
Uncomfortable for people, and then they actually go, it loses it or defeats its purpose.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, we've got our Yaz Queen of the Day, the Reddit post going viral. That's up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, we do have an amazing Yaz Queen of the Day. We didn't get to our poll results, though, from social media at LGT Show. We asked you, should sex ed be banned?
All right, so our poll results, of course, we had simple poll choices.
Uh-huh.
Yes, no. We put this out 33 minutes ago, and we already got 680 votes. This is going to be one that's going to go cray-cray.
Okay.
What do you think? I'm going to let you know, because it is an overwhelming.
I think overall, no.
Yeah, it is very overwhelming. People voted yes, 7.5%. 92.5% voted no.
I think partially because it's important and partially because people don't want to have that awkward conversation. They're like, leave it to the teachers.
Leave
it to other people.
I honestly would love to know the people that have that decided yes. I would love to know their POV because I want to know where that's stemming from and where that's really kind of coming from in some way.
I think some parents, and I've talked to my friend about this in terms of LGBTQ education, think they want to control the narrative. It's up to them. They're raising their kids. You know, they know their kids best in terms of when works to have these conversations and when doesn't.
And my thing is, I understand that, and I don't want anyone to feel pressured that they have to kind of, you know, go in with what everyone is doing. But I do think it is important. As long as you're educating your child in a proper way that's going to teach them how to be a decent human being, I think that's important because there's too many sexual assault cases happening. There's too many, you know, hate crimes happening against LGBTQ people, especially trans women. They need to be educated properly.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our Yes Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
All right. Okay. This Reddit user showed members of the subreddit LGBT tea the very sweet gift she got from her roommates one day after she came out as a trans woman to them.
Oh my God, so many people coming out as trans women this week. Yeah, I love it.
In her snapshot, there's a pouch that's filled with makeup supplies, including makeup sponges, lip color, and face primer. Now, some Reddit users couldn't tell what the makeup sponges were. They thought they were building blocks.
Okay, now like I'm looking at the
building blocks,
and they are, they do look like building blocks.
Well, no,
blocks.
Anyone would know that those are makeup sponges if you're
into makeup.
Yeah, if you wear makeup.
Yeah.
And the original poster was initially stumped as well, saying, I assume makeup, but I'm going to be honest, I have no clue, she wrote. So she wasn't even sure. I've lived as a man for 32 years and never once touched makeup. So there you go. Great way to get, you know, welcomed into womanhood.
I mean, yeah, just to have a group of people supporting you and helping you out in the special way. Like, that's really beautiful.
And I love how, you know, Reddit has always been known for a lot of bros.
Yeah.
But it seems like the LGBT forum on Reddit is really blowing up.
I mean, I think it's always kind of blown up in some ways because the Drag Race Reddits.
Oh, yeah.
There is a community there. And, honey, it is messy.
We should get the people who lead these communities on the show.
I would. I mean,
because there are people that started these and that are the curators
but
sometimes.
Do you think they would want to stand by, especially with sometimes with what it can be? Because it can't often, those Reddit threads can be very negative, and I wonder if those people that have started it would be willing to stand by it in a public face and forum like
this.
Well,
but for all the negativity, I do believe there's been more positivity from it.
Oh, of course. It's just depending on where you're looking, though. But obviously, we as a culture and humans, we pay more attention, unfortunately, to
just like our segment on complaining.
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
And you can listen to that if you missed that conversation on our podcast. We do post all our shows as a podcast on our site. We are channelq.com and wherever podcasts are available. And by the way, if you do have someone or something you want us to talk about in our Yaz Queen of the Day, you can just hit us up on social at LGT Show. It's so easy to find.
Yes, and our email is attached to our Instagram. So if you want to email us any, you know, complaints, any compliments, I think we've, you know, speaking of complaints, it's good for you.
Yeah, we don't censor.
Yeah, we
honestly
do not.
We do love everything and we bring
we'll
it up
read
on,
it on air.
Air. Unless you tell us otherwise.
Not to, right. We'll respect you, but we would love to get more engaged with you all.
Definitely. Well, coming up tomorrow, we're, of course, bringing you everything that happened from the Democratic debates that are actually going on now on CNN. If you missed any of it, I'm sure Twitter is having a field day. And we're going to get into who is the surprising winner. Plus, we find this topic so interesting. What actually happens to our creativity as we age?
Ooh.
And also, I want to get into how do you keep it going, even when you get older?
I mean, this is such a timely conversation for me because this is, I think it can be so stagnant and you just kind of feel like you're not as creative. And it's I can't wait to have this conversation.
Yeah, how
I'm
do you
excited.
Find creativity in your life when you're having those
moments.
Down moments?
Yes.
That is on tomorrow's show. Let's Go There with Sharon Ryan, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, I'm telling you, you better remember to slay, girl.
Yeah, stay tuned for Loveline with Dr. Chris right after this.
Bye, y'all.